I want to put an uncomfortable idea in front of you. You've spent what, a year, 2 years, or more building your academy. You branded it. You structured the learning paths. You've thought for the budget. And you measure its success by how many people show up to it. Thought Industries is arguing that that's backwards. Their line is, the academy is the source, not the destination. Think about where your customers actually go when they're stuck. It isn't your academy. It's the search bar in your product. It's your help center. It's a Slack channel. And increasingly, and let's be real honest about this, it's ChatGPT, Claude, or Gemini. So their bet is that your job isn't to drag people to the portal. It's to make your academy the verified source that feeds all of those places. They've built the plumbing for it. Conversational AI that answers from your actual content with citations. And what they call answer engine optimization, AEO, pushing verified content out to where questions are actually being asked. Now, I've spent real time inside Thought Industries over the years. I know this platform. And I'll be honest with you, what they built in the last year is different enough that I want to take another look at it. A new CEO, a whole new AI layer, and this argument on top of it. So no, I'm not going to tell you that they've entirely got this right yet. That's the real debate at hand, and we should have it on the show. But they've been doing customer education longer than almost anyone in the space. And their headline is still the truest four words in our field. Trained customers don't churn. MongoDB, Celonis, Gong, and Synthesia run on it. So go argue with them, thoughtindustries.com. And welcome to C-Lab, Customer Education Laboratory, where we always explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, which we can talk about today, and exterminate all those myths and that bad advice you might get that stops growth dead in its tracks. And as usual, I'm Dave Darrington, and today I'm so happy to have my friend, dear friend, Annalena Kress, say hello to the audience, and let's get into this today.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Dave. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. And it's been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for, oh gosh, probably over a year. I know I jotted your name down.
No, even longer. Yeah, no, we met at Skilljar in person, and in prep for our meeting, I actually went through my drawer, and I typically don't keep any keepsakes or anything like that, but I actually found the program of the conference that you and I attended, and it was in 2023, which I was really surprised to see. It felt a little bit more recent, but I guess this is an episode 3 years in the making.
Yeah, three. That was great. And we had fun of that one. It was, I think you had accidentally signed up for the wrong thing or didn't sign up for a tour. We were in Seattle, right? Then we ended up at that distillery downtown.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was dragging my feet for such a long time to sign up for the day outing. And then next thing I know, I'm on the distillery trip, but you were there. So that was an added bonus. Exactly.
I'm glad they didn't give us too much on that trip. That was something. Okay. Well, for our warm up here, we always do the international day of or the national day of the year. And today's, what would be your pick today? You can, I like to pick one and then you pick one. We can pick the same.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to look at the list. I know what I'm going for.
What are our options? Tell me.
Well, it's National Star Trek Day, which has got a good through line to education here. National Ampersand Day, is that right? I don't even know what that is. Well, I know what it is. Actors Day, World Physical Therapy Day, Telephone Tuesday, National Dog Walker Appreciation Day. No, I'm going with Star Trek. That's my.
I'll just go with the same. I think let's keep it simple because I definitely have something to say about Star Trek as well. So
what's that?
Star Trek. So this is interesting. But my mom was a big Trekkie. Interestingly enough, yeah, no, she loves sci-fi, and so when I was a kid, she definitely had me watch all of them. And I started out with the original old ones, Captain Kirk, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so, yeah, no, watched a lot of them and then went through the newer generation. I actually forget what they were all called, but I also watched the movies and the whole thing was practicing as a kid, you know, and I can still do it. And so, yeah, that's my connection there. So, yeah, I think I watched all of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm now listening to or watching, what is it, the the Brave New Worlds, where you're starting to see Kirk's entry into the show, because it's Captain Pike who is his precursor. And now they're setting it up to loop back to the original series. I hope they do the series, but we'll see. It would be fun. All right. Well, let's get into some serious stuff today. I don't know. Your mom was a Trekkie. She was serious. Before we frame things up, I'd like you to go ahead and introduce yourself. And you put together some really cool stuff. This conversation is going to go in a couple directions, but I think tie together into a systemic approach that you've come up with that's really working well. So yes. You have the floor. Let's, audience, let's start breaking into it.
Love it. Awesome. So I'll go really quick on my background so that everyone has an idea of who I am and where I'm coming from. And then I'll give you a mini glimpse at what we'll talk about as well to kind of build the red thread throughout. So I lead the customer education efforts at Quantalope. And Quantalope is a market research platform. So an end-to-end platform for consumer insights. And that's where I lead all of the customer education. I originally came into Quantalope to build out their academy, you know, kicking things off. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, doing the regular onboarding. And then, of course, we build on that. Since then, I also started owning the Help Center, all go-to-market efforts. And I've also taken on videos with our marketing team. So it's grown. And I lead sort of a one-woman show there. As a fun fact, maybe, Dave, I'm just going to sprinkle two fun facts in, maybe. And sometimes people like to say, I think I'm hearing an accent. And so for those of you who think you hear an accent, maybe you do. I'm originally from Germany, but I've been in the U.S. for a very long time. And as many of us in education, I also studied to be a teacher. Originally, very random fun fact, to be an English and religion teacher. Oh, wow. Very random. Ended up in the U.S. in the corporate world, and then really jumped on the opportunity to get back into corporate training. And so that's where I've grown internal trainings. You know, if anyone's interested in the details, come to LinkedIn. You can see it all there. But I'm not going to go through my entire resume on this one. Yeah. And then the second fun fact is that my husband and I in 2019 moved out of Portland, Maine, where we reside, to a small farm 30 minutes north of Portland. And what we've done there is build up a whole farm business. And just about 3 years ago, my husband actually quit his full-time job and is now a full-time farmer. And that'll become relevant later as we're talking about some of those things. You already know that. And so those are some of the fun facts that I have to share.
That's super cool. And I like the narrative that you have between you were in education, higher ed, you know, helping people. You've got that institutional understanding, which I like it when we come into the field. I taught at a university for, you know, 8 years, and how different it is. But then there's some threads in there that you can pull, that interaction and helping people learn and really getting the light to come on, that we're starting to see in a different context. And then the farm thing, I want you to talk a lot more about that, because it's such an important crossover to, hey, I have this project where it's my love, it's passion, and you're able to use what you're doing here at work, and vice versa. It's a neat interaction between the two.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Well, this is where, without giving too much away, let's frame this up. And there's a hypothesis that I've been leading with lately, and I'm pretty bullish on this, is that, okay, now we're framing up in our world. We're moving into a high stakes company, got billions of dollars of valuation. There's so much going on. You're trying to sell to customers, and you get caught up in the machinations inside a company that put, and I say this with heart, the customer comes last, hard stop. And I mean, how does that land with you? Does that feel accurate, even though we know we don't want that to be true?
Right. So great segue into what I'm going to share, with everyone. So I think many of us have experienced that, right? As an example would be, the go-to-market process, which, you know, I mentioned is something I'm now involved in as well. And so classic process, oftentimes, and I think people experience that too, is we're going in, product team is coming out, sharing something, and then who goes first is internal training, right? We need to get our team trained. Then marketing comes in and drafts things up. And as you said, now customer education comes last. And I actually disagree with that approach fundamentally, because I believe and have experienced and implemented that if we put the customer first and customer facing material at the very beginning of our creation process, it's going to make things way more efficient, much faster. And there are a lot of different other benefits that I'm really excited to share with you all.
I like that. You're right. I don't know how to capture it. It just feels like the normal way of doing stuff, right? Where, oh, we've got a new product that's coming up. What do we do? Well, let's all talk about it internally. Oh, okay. We got to tell everybody how it works and what it is. And the customer is going, Hey, I want to get excited about this. I have no idea what you're talking about or what, how this works. And then it being our platforms and products just launch, right? But the customer doesn't have anything. And
right.
I see what you're saying. And I also know that we as a collective don't flip the flow, right? I don't know why it is too. And this is where I want to talk, like, in the emotional space, that, okay, what is it that we're so worried about? Why can't we? And this is a repeat discussion I've had over and over again. Hey, we've got a new product out. We're a new part of our platform. Cool. Okay. Where is all the information about it? Oh, well, we don't have it yet. Like, we're going to do a meeting and we'll do our own enablement. And then we start doing some content. And then 3 months out, the product's released. And I'm saying, like, guys, okay. And often I will just say, fine, screw it. We're not going to collaborate. I'm just going to build the content too. Now we're doubling our effort to do something that would have made sense if we just went to market. But there's what? Fear of control, fear of it's the perfection play. This is built into the customer education manifesto. That's like, well, we don't strive for perfection. We strive to get customers educated. Does this only work when you're a one person team like you are right now? Or is it something that I have a 5,000 person org out there and I've got the same problems and now I have a 10 person team and I don't get where we're going. So let's start. We've got the energy there. So let's start breaking into this, talking about what do you mean by customer education first? How do we express that? How does that look in practice?
Great question. And so just to quickly answer one of your questions you just had, I firmly believe that this can be absolutely scaled to any size company. And I want to share three strategy pillars that we very successfully rolled out at Quantalope that flip that. And then we also added a few additional layers to really, you know, I'm just going to say it, supercharge the whole process. Sort of flipping and reversing the whole thing, I want to give you a quick example and then tell you about how we then ended up flipping the whole thing to have customer facing content come first. And so just like we discussed, you know, classic processes, okay, products coming out. And we had that, I had one example where we had a brand new product in 2025, products, you know, sharing all the information, we're getting the content ready for internal. And as part of the process, because it was a larger launch and there were so many different parts to this product that needed to be understood, it was decided that we were going to, and we, you know, I'm saying the company, I was not involved because, again, at that point, customer education wasn't really involved yet. But it was decided that I think 4 or 5 videos were going to be created for internal team training, right? Because, again, as we just said, the team needs to be trained. So the whole thing launches, the videos are there, our internal team, of course, invested time, they wrote the scripts. But as so often, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, it's just internal. So, you know, it's not quite as polished, it's not quite there yet. And so we launched it. And then what we found was that our team very quickly said, those videos, you know, the content is really good. Can we just send it out to the clients so they can see it? And then we took a step back and said, oh, yes. But we don't have the video at the quality we wanted quite yet. And so at the time, I came in and just sort of did a little cleanup and we tried to make it work and it was fine. But that experience really made me think, wouldn't it have been so much better if I had just created high quality customer facing material out of the gates? And at the time of launch, everyone's just ready to go.
Okay. Can I help work with that space a little bit?
Yes.
So there's that emotion, that flex that you had there, that wince, that, okay. Here's the thing that always bothers me about this whole process, where I believe customer education, like you, is a pillar, is one of the mechanisms we have for learning. And I'm trying to get away from the segmentation or siloing we tend to have in businesses, which always disrupts us. So it's, okay, let's think about the word customer. The word customer can also mean I have an internal customer.
Exactly.
I have my sales team. I have my partners. I have, you know, whatever, the marketing team. They're all customers. So if you think, and the other thing I see is a lot of these internal teams also take a lot of time to add some kind of polish. However, and I don't want to get pejorative here. When I think about enablement, I always have that wince of enablement, enabling, you're enabling somebody. And that kind of takes on a negative tone, where we're educating. Education is the through line, not a enablement. It's one and done, in and out. We're like, just say something and get it out there. Just consume it. Well, that sets the bar here at the floor, where we have, and I think about customer education too, being, I like to use the word canon, right? We talked about Star Trek. There's canon, there's lore. That's you can't say Kirk is going to do this when he never did that in the story and you haven't watched all the shows like we have, right? And it always drives me crazy with Marvel Universe stuff. It's like, wait a minute, what universe are we in? 616? I don't know anymore. Not my point. The point is that if we go to market with something that's 70%, of what it really could be and just get it out. Everybody uses that. What does enablement then do? Pile on. Okay, how does this bit of education, which is the kernel of the product they're trying to sell, now think sales. Hey, you don't need to know all this. Go through the material. This will give you a foundation of what you're selling. And by merit of that, you also have this artifact that you can give to a customer, right? And now, what am I teaching my sales team? How do we go to market with this? What's my goal? What's my sales quota? Whatever. It's the and, it's the extension. So we're doing it wrong. We're not worrying about what we actually have here. If we wait for enablement to get stuff out there, then we've missed the canonical vector, so to speak, right? I don't know how you think about that. That's how I think. It's like flipping the script a little bit to think, whoa, why couldn't we do all this at once as one play? As one team.
Yep. I think, let me just run with that, because I think you said something that really struck a nerve with me, because that's how I look at myself and my role. Because of course, we always say we're in customer education, we create content for our customer. And that's correct. But at the end of the day, I would argue that the majority of us does not directly send this to their customers. I'm not personally sending this out. So who gets to send our content to the customer? It's our team. Our team does this. And exactly as you just said, they're our internal customer. So the content that I create that is customer facing, I really see our team as my first audience and my first customer. And you know what we ended up doing, go ahead, I can see you want to say something.
No, I'm just, the light bulb's going on. Continue, please.
So let me just tell you a little bit about what we did with that idea of customer comes first and how we rolled this out and how we very successfully scaled that and also added a few additional layers to that. And so, as I had mentioned, this was sort of my light bulb moment, right? So we have these videos. Okay, why shouldn't customer education come first? And so last year, I drafted this entire strategy. And one of the pillars, again, was customer education comes first. And one of the strategies employed with that is called COPE. And it's actually, it comes from content marketing. Oh my gosh, let me just get back this one more time. This comes from content marketing. There you go. And so it basically stands for create once, publish everywhere, right? And so the theory is this: if we have customer education come first with high quality, it's ready for the customer on day one in this go-to-market process, right? I go in, I create this first. This content block, if I do create once, publish everywhere, I pass this now on to our marketing team. It's very similar content that they're creating, and they can take my information, just tweak it just a little bit. And now my internal colleague, oh my gosh, I'm losing my train of thought. You're going to have to edit that. And so now my internal colleague can also take that exact same piece of content and is now wrapping this into internal training as well, right? So it's no different from what the customer is going to receive. So what have we created with that? It's just a high efficiency. And what you mentioned before we're all in those silos, right? Product is putting their content out. Internal training is doing their content. Marketing is doing their content. Then I finally come in. And so instead, I go first, and the content I create reaches all of our teams, and they can take the ball and run with it. It's sort of this red thread, again, create once, publish everywhere. And what I really, really like about, because we've implemented that, what I really like about it is that one training piece that I can pass on to our internal trainer, she's able to roll this out to our team. She creates additional things around it. But as I had mentioned before to you, Dave, who gives out our content to the customer? Mm-hmm. Our team. Mm-hmm. So if our team now uses customer-facing content out of the gates for their own training, they get to experience the quality of that material on day one. And so it's a little bit like, you know, the waiter at a restaurant, when you go to the restaurant and they're coming to the table, right? And they're saying, we have this special tonight. I tried it. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it. And that's what happens with your team, right? And we had that happen. We did exactly as I shared with you. We rolled it out. I went first, created all of this, created some videos, ended up creating a whole academy course. And then our team said, wow, this one video that you created is so good. I sent it out to a couple of customers already and highly recommended it. And so, you know, the side effect and the ripple down effect of doing that is huge. It's a huge gain.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I like the term the waiter effect, because any experience you have with sales, particularly consumables. And this last weekend, we were in the Gorge in Columbia Valley, and we were hanging out at some of the wineries. And if you went to a winery and you're doing a tasting, and that basically they're a wine educator at some point, mm-hmm. but we got, oh, I like this. This has tones of blah, 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 you know, like giving... We're having an experience around something now, but that person knows what they're talking about and they can recommend. And then you have the nuances. Well, do you like this, or do you like fruity notes, or do you let, you know, and then now you're having a guided experience from the beginning. And I really adore the idea of, okay, well, if we start with the customer education componentry first, again, my terms, canon, this is how it works. Done. It's not documentation. It's the next level. Is how do we intertwine all these things with the use cases that our customers are expecting, right? So now that's passing through our entire company. So it's almost an extra filter where, well, if you set it up just like you talked about and our internal team is using the material, we've launched it. Now you have this good loop happening where contents, I wish I could diagram this because I'm seeing in my mind the stream, right? And it's flowing back, and it's like the water cycle and an ecosystem where, you know, it turns to rain, whatever, it comes back down in the hills, and we've got what rivers. And that's how I like to think, but it's so hard to implement. in reality that we get in, and this is a question I didn't have before this, is why do we think that it's not that way, right? Where enablement makes content and they pass it along and they pass it along and then I'm the last in the chain,
right?
And that I'm cleaning up, right? And why? I mean, I don't know what happens in companies, but maybe it's something in organizational design or psychology. What are your thoughts about
that? Yeah, great question. So let me actually also answer a question you asked before. So one was, how do we implement this? This is hard to implement. And so just want to quickly share that when I rolled this out to our leadership, it was a very easy sale. They immediately were on board with it and said, okay, this sounds very logical. Because if you think about it, create once, publish everywhere. It's nothing but gains, right? You're getting rid of the silos, you're recycling content, massive time savings right there. And then, oh my gosh, now I'm losing my train of thought. What is your second question?
I was more asking about why do we
hold on
to that practice that is a myth? I mean, it shouldn't be this way. Why do you think?
Yes, I do have a thought on why that is. I think it's the fear, and you already mentioned that beforehand, of not having it perfect, right? You want to have, because, and we know this, you know, product makes last minute mm-hmm. tweaks, and then maybe this toggle isn't all of a sudden there where it was before, or the UI has changed. And I believe it has something to do with that. But if we take that thought and just stick with that for just a minute, and we're saying, okay, we're worried that we're going to have to make last minute adjustments. If we stick with the old process and internal training comes first and then customer education comes last, it means we always have to redo the content no matter what. If I do customer education first and maybe there are still some tweaks to be made, that adjustment is much faster than recreating the content. So yes, this fear might be legit and there might be some last minute updates, but that work now to adjusting this almost completely final product that is customer facing is significantly less effort than me having to recreate the internal first content, you know? So I understand. And I think sometimes we just get stuck in these, this is just how we've always done it. But I really, really firmly believe and have seen it that if we flip it, it's much faster.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen the evidence of it. And I have in some limited context. Usually when I was a one person show, I mean, what I'm doing now actually at Vast is kind of a reprise of what I had done years ago when I think, oh gosh, I was at Azuqua at the time, which got acquired. And then I went on to Outreach, but it was just me. I had to go. I didn't have time, and nobody in, you know, there were people internal that were experts and stuff. And I said, look, I don't have time for this. I went straight to webinars. I went straight to live streaming and basically just, you know, pulled off the gloves and said, look, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to stumble my way through. And the side effect of that I would have never predicted was a certain kind of confidence that comes from being, you know, building the airplane in flight that we run away from, that perfection that you can hide in enablement. You can really hide. You can not quite get something right. And everybody's like, fine. You had to mandate me take that training anyway. I don't care. You're probably getting less refined and polished material when you do that by hiding from going to market. You have to go live. This is why I've been saying that education is a lot like product too. We're shipping a product. Why aren't we shipping at the same time that we are with our product? Well, because we have these weird machinations and things that are stuck in our heads about how education works, right? This feels to me like a really good moment to transition, you know, thinking about how everything works. Let's talk about your farm a little bit.
Already?
First off, I'm going to introduce it and set you up. But
do we want to do... Dave, but don't we want to do the capture at the source? Because that's kind of part of the whole thing. I have the capture at the source and then amplify Certainly. With AI. Because those are kind of like really big parts of this.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go through strategy. The Taurus. Yeah, I might be flipping a little bit, but I'm really excited to hear from this because in some ways I think what you're doing in that is actually capturing at the source too. Okay, let's back up and go with that next point and say, okay, what are we doing? What's our stack look like? What are the things that we're using to power our new flipped table system over here?
Yes, that's a great question. And so, as we just said, so create once, publish everywhere.
Cope,
yeah. I think, cope. We keep referencing it all the time. It's a nice little, let's cope it out. And so that alone, if you implement that, I think already makes a huge impact. But then we paired it with a whole new idea and also used a new tool to implement that. And essentially, we just call it capture at the source. And traditionally, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Most of us work with subject matter experts. And the typical flow is, okay, we have this new product or we have this course, whatever we're working on, we're meeting with our subject matter experts. I oftentimes would then record the meeting. They're walking me through it in our platform. I have my recording. Of course, I use AI. I pulled a transcript. I'm throwing it into AI. It's giving me a nice summary. And now I have to go back into our platform and recreate all of it. Maybe I needed some additional assets and I'm recreating step by step by step while now creating this video recording. It's a huge time investment. And yeah, it's just not a very smooth flow. And so what we did is we brought on Camtasia Online. And many of you who are listening, I'm sure you use just regular Camtasia as well. So if you do, definitely pay attention to this because Camtasia Online really unlocked this whole capture at the source for us. And Camtasia Online is really just a recording tool that lives in the cloud. Super easy. Anyone can just sign up for an account and you share your screen. And then you simply just walk through the steps. And so we went through the legal process. Everyone at Quantalope now can use it. And what I'm doing now is I'm meeting with my subject matter experts. And instead of them walking me through everything, I'm simply training them on how to use Camtasia Online. And then asynchronously, they're recording everything. And what's really cool about that tool is, you know, sometimes you have this, okay, record this for me. And then typically what happens is, oh, I have to render this. I have this massive file. I'm going to get you this link to Google, etc. With Camtasia Online, you just have this little collaborate button, put your email address in, and then I get a notification, and then I can access this video. Super cool. And so what we've done is when we have go-to-market, new online courses, whatever it may be, I sent my subject matter experts into Camtasia Online. They're walking through everything, and I already have the video in a quality that I can run with immediately. And I'll just take it into Camtasia, and I can do the editing. And we have another tool that I'm going to get into for AI, but that really has sped us up tremendously. We had one online course that, I mean, easily would have taken me a month to go through. And I just sent my subject matter experts into it. And videos, the editing doesn't take that much time. So it took me a few afternoons, put it all together. And, you know, it's really, really, I really swear by this. So if you can capture at the source and get your content that way, it was a huge game changer for us.
This is music to my ears. I came up with another acronym for you on the fly. Capture at the source, CATS.
I know. You know, I was leading up to this. Yeah, leading up to this podcast, I was like, cope with CATS.
Do you ever feel like your product team ships faster than you can build training? Yeah, me too. And that's why I've been checking out what the folks at Learn Experts are doing. Their AI platform called Leah takes your existing content, docs, slides, wikis, recordings, and turns it into full training programs, publishing in multiple modalities to nail blended learning for your customers 85% faster than traditional methods. And get this, when your product updates, Leah can update the content faster by automatically incorporating it into your existing outline, content, and even your end of course test or exams. LearnExpert shares that their customers are reporting 90% efficiency here. Now that's time back to actually focus on strategy, or let's be honest, to finally take a lunch break. Plus, it connects with platforms like Skilljar and others so that you can publish straight to your academy without missing a beat. Check it out at learnexperts.ai/CELab and see how you can keep your learning and test in release mode. LearnExperts, build like an expert, update like a pro. That's so fun. But it's good. Yeah. I like these. These are sticky ideas. Some of the threads that I would pull on this discussion, this fabric, was number one, Camtasia Online. I just recently talked to Matt Pierce, who's educator at TechSmith, and he was talking about this. This and Parda is doing some of this as well. What we're seeing is you're getting into this like a net. It's a kind of like a content management system.
Yes.
Where if you're capturing it once, but you have the video, you're not having to chase down a subject matter expert. The thing that I like what you're talking about that resonates with me, and we don't see it commonly enough, it's this pattern of, okay, let's talk about ego and the feeling of being important because of what you know. Mm-hmm. And I think now I'm answering my own question that I had before posed to you, which was, okay, I work with SMEs all the time. And sometimes SME is subject matter expert. When you're working with them, some of them can get a little precious about material. And I know of a case not so long ago where subject matter expert did all this work, collected, gave us a recording of them talking, all this kind of stuff. And then the end product done by somebody else didn't meet that mark. It lost stuff. It actually had some AI slop in it because terms weren't understood, and there was no back and forth between, look, that guy made this at the source. Why aren't we just using that material? And in this case, it became, I think you see a lot of folks want to make a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to content. Like, oh, now I have to put an articulate, and then welcome to the class, and blah, blah. No, that's all BS. It's, hey, I'm offering you this really great content of, if I can have that subject matter expert cued or primed with a little bit of training, just like you said you did, hey, here's this app, Camtasia Online. It can do all this stuff. What I'd really like from you, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, can you make a recording for me, walking me through it, maybe even me sit in on it, and then I can reuse all of that. We don't think enough like this. You do it once. We were talking not long ago on this show, and I was on a webinar with Brainstorm. That's the other side of that, that you can make, create something once and distribute it many times. So, and you also do that implicitly with the mm-hmm. process that you've done, because now, hey, if I'm passing this content that we've created once to my enablement team, they know where it is. They don't have to be an expert on it, but they can use that same packaged video that might already be on YouTube or something. And we've got flow. We've got it all looped together. And then with things like Claude and such, we can whip together such really great material, especially if you train your environment well.
Yep, 100%. Completely agree with you.
Yeah, we need more of this. So how are you using Claude right now with that? Do you have skill set up, and do you have projects where you could share with your team?
100%. That actually really ties into the pillars that I shared as well. So we have, apparently now we have Cope with Cats, Create Once, Publish Everywhere, Capture at the Source. And what I then actually also do is Claude, and we also use Cluso, so talking AI just in general. And that's where I'm saying amplify with AI. And this is how we use it. So as I already mentioned, I get my subject matter experts in there, and maybe I'll actually give you an example, Dave, because this is a great, huge win that we had this year. And it really is a good example of how this all comes together and works so nicely. So we at Quantalope have launched or revamped our platform, where we all know that feeling, right? New look, mm-hmm. I have to go into all those videos, all those screenshots, all the course updates. Exactly. Everyone's feeling the pain who's listening to that, because we've all mm-hmm. been there. And so that's what we went through as well. And as I mentioned, I somewhat recently took over our entire help center. And so we were tasked with, or I was tasked with, revamping all of those articles. And now what does that look like? So we use Zendesk for our help desk. And I can take all of these screenshots. We had limited licenses. Not everyone is in Zendesk to be able to now go through all these articles, read them, proofread them, replace all of this, all of these screenshots. How are we going to do this? And so I used a combination of some of the things I just shared with you. So I went out and I said, okay, we have all of these different articles on all these different topics. I had a bunch of subject matter experts I was fortunate to work with. I sent out Camtasia Online and said, please just log on, go into the platform, the new version of it, and walk through these steps for these different topics, and then send it back to me. So that's the Camtasia Online piece. Got that, cleaned up the video, and this is now where Clouseau comes in. And I'll get to Claude in a second also. So I took the video, extracted it, uploaded it to Clouseau, and I don't know if Clouseau is familiar to everyone, but it might be worth mentioning. Essentially, it's an AI tool that allows you to very quickly edit videos via their AI. It's a built-in AI in it, does everything, zooms in, highlights, etc., pulls the transcript, can also strip the voiceover, do an AI voice, the whole thing. What it can also do, and this is why this was very, very interesting for me with the help center, it can also turn those videos into entire step-by-step articles with screenshots. So instead of having people go in, rewriting, reading, I mean, months, this would have taken easily 6 months is my estimation for this project. I simply said to my team, hey, you're very used to walking through the platform. Just do that. Put all of your pro tips into it. That's all I need. Took the video, put it into Clouseau. It gave me all those screenshots. In Clouseau, then you have the ability to copy that article plus all the screenshots in an HTML format. I then went to Claude. This is where Claude now comes in. We also, with the article revamp, also did a help center design revamp. And with that, I had also purchased HTML design format for Zendesk, right? So here's the HTML for the callout. Here's the HTML for this header. All those things. Put it all into a Claude project. Yeah, you see where this is going. Then I pulled the HTML from Clouseau and said to Claude, here it is. Here are the screenshots, all the steps. Here's the old article. Please ensure that all the critical information from the old article is intact and give me a new article. And then I went to Zendesk and just used the source format and just pasted it in. And it was a beautiful article with very minimal effort. And I was able to go through the entire help centers. We had roughly 100 plus articles. I know many help centers have more, but that, you know, for one person was a lot. And it took me just about 2 months to go through that. Not quite. So that was a huge win, right? Implementing all of those different strategy pillars.
That's amazing. And that's evocative of what I've been hearing from others in different ways. Some people are doing more of an agentic push where it's automated to a higher degree. I think most of us are leaning towards the human side, human augmented development as much as possible to keep eyes on, because we don't trust. And I like how you've talked about using Claude and skills and projects. You're doing it right, because it's hard to get this kind of direction when so many people are running ragged trying to do things the old way. You know, the old way is debt. The new way is we're using the systems and the tools that are becoming available that speed us up, and the things that are tedious and almost impossible to scale, these are scaling. I'm glad you brought up. We'll have to talk to, I'll give a shout out to Neil and the Clouseau team, because, you know, we're big fans. I work with it. It's a really powerful tool. Camtasia Online is great. You're using Claude? Like, have you used any OpenAI or any other platforms other than Claude right now for this work? Just to see how it compares, like Gemini?
No, because, you know, I use Claude through work. So we stick with all the tools that we have sort of unlocked through work. But something I wanted to add to this, because I actually forgot, but this was a really incredible additional bonus with all this help center work that we did. You know, I had all of our subject matter experts now create all these videos. And then, you know, what happened? We had another course that needed to be updated. And rather than me now having to go back to my subject matter experts, I have a huge amount of videos with all the information I need. And I literally just went in, took those videos, and just edited them in Camtasia. Some of our, or actually I should say all of our Academy videos have my voice over. And so I used those there, polished it up, put my own voice over those videos. And so I think that's really, again, how we need to think about content. How can we harness it at the source? Because our teams constantly create content. They really know their stuff. How can I get this from them? And so I now sit on tons of videos that I know I can use for a lot of different projects. Maybe I'll create another Academy course, you know, because I have it already sitting there. So that's a huge, huge advantage.
Well, it's also great because you have a consistent framework of that content where I'll take an example. Even now it's, I go looking for something. I know somebody's done it, but it takes me half an hour, even sometimes with Claude or Gemini or something at my back end, you know, helping me find stuff. But when you have it all there and organized, then you can easily say, oh yeah, Jane recorded this really cool video of, or something, or Joe did a webinar, or Jim just happened to record a demo that we did. But we've got these all in one central place. We can easily search them, cut them up, edit them with something like Clouseau, have Claude help us shape the wording and stuff, and then get it out the door. So now you're a system architect, right? Almost a business architect, where you're pulling the thread of content through the org. You're not.
Yes.
And I keep hearing this even today. It's, we got to make more content. We got to make more content. I'm like, no, we got to make content that actually serves the need at scale with intent, rather than, I mean, I'm still in an organization that's really, we've got a really great product, but we spend a lot more time on demos and with people in the field, handholding and helping people understand it. Whereas we could flip the script and have a whole lot more video content that was, let's just break it up. Everybody take a piece. Let's go. Let's get in there. And then I can do my magic, which is becomes very easy then. You know. Ooh, okay. We got time for one more big meaty thing. And this is where I tried to jump the gun because I'm excited about it. Can you dive into the farm and talk about what you're learning out of customer education by merit of this great passion product? Not even passion, you're husband's now working full time as a farmer. This is amazing. So I want to learn a little bit more about the experience.
Yes. Yeah. And this is an interesting one because it's a little different, but it's trying things, you know, in the wild a little bit as someone who works in customer education. So for the farm, when we built that up, as so many small businesses, of course, social media is a big deal, right? So you have to build this up, get yourself out there. And because I work in customer education, one of my personal great passions, honestly, is to always look at what are people consuming on their own terms as far as educational content is concerned, right? So what do people at free will expose themselves to? And one of them, of course, in social media is those reels, TikTok videos. And then, of course, we're quick to say, oh, this is not really great education, maybe, or, you know. But I do firmly believe that we have a lot to learn from customer education from those videos because they teach you about scroll stuff. How do you get someone's attention? How do you get someone to be interested in a particular topic? And so I've been really fascinated with short form video for a long time and have been really racking my brain on how I can implement this for our farm account in the social media. And just to give you an example, we started, because we moved here in 2019. I started the social media account in 2020. And this year in March, I went to our local Facebook group and I asked, please, can I get one more follower for our account so that we can go to 1,000? And that was in March. So all along, I've been trying to learn how can I create educational content that really gets people's attention. And then kept going. My husband grows in a very specific way. It's called no-till. So this is a growing method that really has, so yeah, as the name implies, right? So he doesn't till the soil. Why? Because it keeps soil life, soil biology intact. And ultimately, what it leads to is you have much healthier soil that then nourishes the plants. You get a healthier plant and in return, a more nutritious vegetable in this case. And so that's sort of the basics around it, right? So I've been trying to figure out how can I create short videos. I create videos at work that function in social media. It's like, how is it that I'm sitting here with so many years in customer education and I have 1,000 followers? That was really... really bothering me. And so in April, I finally seemed to have cracked the code, could see a little traction. One of our videos went to 100,000 views, gained a few more followers. And then in May, we ended up going viral with one of those educational videos. And from March with 1,000 followers, we actually, this is very timely, Dave, because just this morning, we got 50,000 followers on our little tiny little farm. 3-acre farm in Maine, 50,000 followers for people who are excited to learn about soil health and how they can implement that in their own gardens.
That is amazing. Actually, I've like, my brain was just sparking while you're talking here because I'm thinking, okay, let me riff on this a little bit. You know, I want to bring it back because there's all these things that I'm seeing now that have a payoff I wouldn't have expected. I'm a user of TikTok or doom scroller. I might be at night, but I found a whole area now that is coming at AI learning from a different angle. And I'll look, if you look it up, the person or the account is Professor Glitch. And it is, what's the difference between, and actually there's two of them. There's another one out there that uses Peter Griffin of all things to communicate these ideas. So you have like an avatar or a nice soothing voice, something that's authoritative yet casual. You've got content down to minutes, not hours. And you're expressing very deep, complicated content. For example, let's talk about what is the difference between an API and MCP, which, you know, you see all of our LMS friends talking about MCP. It's like, it's not anything really new or novel or anything. It's just a way for an agent, an AI to connect and have access to things similarly to an API. That's not the point. The point is these are consumable and they're engaging and I want more. And now they come at my feed in little bits. And so where I'd follow your farm account, I think that's cool because I'm like, okay, well, I'm starting to learn about farming and taking care of a garden and how do we get rid of the darn slugs. And but we are in this lifestyle now where we can't sit down for hours at an end and study. I'm going to learn about agriculture like that. I love the idea of the no-till stuff because what do you think about the mycelial network of, you know, that's running through the ground that you're going to disrupt if you crack that. Now the connections are gone. The ecosystem of life, the bugs, whatever, the good ones, the ones we want, they get killed or whatever. And yeah, it seemed like it made sense. You till the earth. Okay, great. Why do we do that? Did anybody sit down and think about that harm or how that's sustainable? I mean, look at the Dust Bowl. We really screwed up then. So this is cool. And okay, I want you to go a little deeper. So now you just hit 50,000 and you had some breakout work, some virality happen. You have a really good in that and really good lesson learned.
Yes, we had, I know it sounds so silly. We went viral, but we did a few times. Because of the
work you did, the investment and the strategy that you took.
For sure. And I think what I really want to highlight is that it's strictly educational content. So this is not anything gimmicky or AI or clickbaity, right? So, and I think that's why this is so neat. It's strictly educational content, but it's formatted in a way that really gets people's curiosity going, right? You create in the beginning of the video sort of this knowledge gap. And they're really curious. You build the whole arc of the story. You have the payoff at the end. And then I always like to pair it with, you know, really meaty caption and a lot of learning. And, you know, I have found that, again, this learning format has really worked extremely well. And people, you know, commenting, asking for more information. And that's really what I'm saying. That's why I'm so excited about that. It's like, how can you crack the code of getting people that excited about learning? You know, it's like, how can we replicate something like that in our world of customer education, where we're putting out little snippets like that are just intriguing enough for people to say, hey, this is speaking to me. This is my pain point. I feel seen in this. And I really want to learn more about that. That's why I think this is so intriguing and interesting. And I don't really know the answer on how I can really replicate this, but I have a lot of thoughts around how we should try and really look at short form and be more open to that type of format and not just say, ugh, you know, it's social media is doom scrolling, brain rot, and all of those associations, because frankly, can really be used for education, can be a huge driver for education, interest, and engagement. And that's precisely what we created. And yeah, we've gone viral. I honestly sort of lost count at this point because it was just so many times. And it's been really interesting to see this whole thing unfold.
Can I ask you, you said you studied, at least in the notes, you said you studied on the method. So can, is that one that we can all go to and see, like, is there, you know, you said there's like a hook, there's arc, there's payoff, there's how you architect a short form video that teaches somebody that's actually freaking engaging. So what's the primer on that? Is there like a simple go-to, a cope or a cats?
I know, right? What's the next acronym we can come up with? Yeah. That's a great question. So, you know, I took time and I legitimately just went to the source. And I think it was Instagram where I just followed some creators who said, hey, I have cracked the code. This is the blueprint for Reels. And then I specifically, because a lot of those viral reel formats are more entertainment reels, and that's not the category we're in. And then I found some formats specific to education. And so there are actual hook formats you can use. And frankly, I just did trial and error. What's working really well for us is asking a question or sort of doing a myth buster, right? So a typical assumption, and then sort of making it a statement, and then really, you know, or right, and then actually, this is the real answer. And then we'll just sort of go through it. Also working with visual hooks, of course, and we're looking at the gardening space. So I like to just show pristine gardens, and then it was like people just like, I want this, right? And I think that's sort of where we could lean into from a customer education point is, you know, really leaning into what do our customers want, sort of portraying that vision, leaning into the pain point, really asking them a question. And I think what's also important for those videos, it's typically just teaches one message. And so I think oftentimes we also get really bogged down in wanting to teach 4, 5, 6, 7 different things and cram it all into this one video. And that works, of course, for tutorials. But if we're looking at this particular kind of video, if we're saying this is just one little catalyst and I want people to be motivated to then dig further, one learning is really best because these videos are quick. So, I mean, 30 seconds and under is only so much the brain can really go through. We'll work with extremely simple language, no terminology that is not easily understood, because it's just for 2 seconds, right? You have maybe text on the screen for 2 seconds and it moves on to the next thing. So it has to be very quickly and easily understood. And then, yeah, you always have at the end sort of a payoff that is satisfying to the person who's watched it. It's like, ah, okay, now I know this was very interesting, but I now want to know more. And then you always have your call out. It's like, here's more information.
It's a method. And when you fine tune it and you capture your audience's attention and their heart, and now you have somebody following you, they're seeing that every day, maybe twice a day. This tips me off to think about my experiences that I had at Atlassian, which we very much did what you're talking about. And one of my favorite folks, Kevin Lee, who's now got a new role at OpenAI to do this kind of stuff, which I'm really excited about. He built this program called Atlassian Answered, which initially didn't get any attention internally. Like, what is this? Oh, it's a throwaway thing. It's just whatever. Let's go do it. Well, it was a series of very short form videos, some smaller, some a little bit more lengthy. But it got into things like, okay, what is Jira? All right. Most people roll their eyes and go, oh, it's ticketing, whatever, you know, board, when Jira board and trial, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what I'm going to come at this from a couple different vectors. One is I've used Jira and Atlassian products for 15, 20 years. It's been around a while. It's been changed a lot since that time. And then, you know, I've been a project manager, a business. I've been a developer. I've done all this stuff. And it's just not sexy or fun at all in any way. But now it's 10, 20 years later, you've got a product that people have used forever. And you've got younger audiences that are in those roles as an engineer or whatever, and they have to use the platform. Never heard of this thing before. But here's a short form video. So what is Jira? Okay, it just broke it down real quick and it was fun. And then it's, what is Confluence? Again, rolling the eyes, whatever, documentation. No, there's a lot more into it. And he went viral with that content. I mean, millions of views. And it was, and he'd had a legacy doing this kind of stuff. So he had a leg up. But it was on YouTube Shorts, LinkedIn, and it got the attention of the marketing team in a big way. Like, oh my God, what is happening here? To the point where the chief marketing officer looked at that and like, this is amazing. But eventually that whole thing was killed. He left the company because there was this, again, this clutch, this pearl clutching of, well, you know, we're looking at our data and we're seeing across the board, a lot of companies are seeing disengagement with the academy, the university. And why is this happening? Well, several things. One, I'm looking for shorter form content. I can't sit there all day and watch this 3 hour long. It's fine, right? But I want smaller. I want tight. We're having this push and pull thing now. The equivalent to Cope is that, you know, we're wanting to build once and distribute many. We're wanting to reach a market whose attention is on Instagram or YouTube or whatever during their normal waking hours, right? And we're going to scroll. Well, gosh, I see Atlassian popped up. Cool. Oh, now it's an entry point. I'm scrolling through. Well, I want to learn. Well, okay, follow. Learn a little bit. You know what? I can get a badge for the. Yeah, I'm going to go over here. Now I wander over to the academy, log in, take a course, get my badge. This is the way things work now, that it's the front door, right? You were talking even
yes.
your note.
The, yes, very much so.
Design problem, right? Which is what, you know?
So correct. Yeah. Thank you for that. Exactly. So I think oftentimes in learning experience design, instructional design, we focus so much on the inside of the house, right? We get the course perfectly. The learning is there. The videos are great. Everything's beautiful and put in place, right? This is our interior design. Where this whole short form video can really give us some food for thought is, how can we get people in, right? How can we get the scroll stop and the desire to actually walk through the door? And I think that's where we definitely have some room for growth, because if the facade of the house doesn't look very attractive, or the door doesn't look, you know, it's not even painted, the paint is chipping off, it's flaking, No one wants to walk through it. It doesn't matter how pretty it is on the inside. And I think that's really where the learning for us and customer education can come from. It's like these short form videos are an amazing way to get someone's attention and have them want to walk through the door is how I look at it. Exactly as you said, oh, this is kind of cool. Follow. Okay, there's the academy. Maybe I'll take this course as well, right? So it's this attention grab, an intrinsic desire to learn more about it, which we oftentimes really struggle with because we're really at the grace of the customer to want to engage, right? We're not in internal training where sometimes you can assign a course to someone. And even there, I would argue, I would still prefer that our internal audience, you know, should want to take a course. But really, customer facing, oftentimes we really have to fight for attention. We really have to fight for people to want to engage with our content. And if we can invest a little extra thought into potentially something like a short form video to get people into our world and into our content, I think that's time well spent.
Yeah, something that really resonates, something I keep thinking about for the future is the best kind of education is one that's just natural and seamless. And you're going to that third place of where other people live. This is why I like to do, I'm doing a lot of live training, going on sites again, interacting with customers. There's we've kind of gone backwards over the last years into like, oh, we have this academy and we're not, because of COVID, we're not seeing people and we're all insular, right? So this is that niche in between where you're putting a lot of intentional content out in the world and engaging in the world, in the places that the people are today. That also, in my opinion, and again, I work with so many LMSs and I support them. And the through line I'm seeing right now is that the ones that are going to make the bridge, jump over the bridge to the next generation are the ones that open the door wide and let that content seamlessly appear wherever it needs to be, still meaning a thin wall of authentication because we don't want to know who people are. But I'm more of a fan of self-identification. Like if I'm truly intent and I'm a customer, I'm going to come to the site, I'm going to get that badge. And then that is the proof that I did the work, badges, things like that. I don't necessarily take too many quizzes, but I will if you get me something out of it, right? You motivate me. But then there's my own personal intrinsic motivation, which is, hey, look, I need to be administrator of the BAST data platform. And there's a lot of time and commitment, things I have to know, and I have to nail that into my head. Now I'm coming to you, VAST, and I'm going to sit down and go through the certification program and invest the time into it. But that comes later, right? At first, we just need a substrate of of really cool, engaging information to know about this thing. And I don't want a lot of talking at and a lot of boring videos. And I sure as heck don't want to sit on content that's, you know, that common mistake of hello and welcome to the course. My name is, oh my God, please shut up. Just tell me and let's have fun with this because I'm going to live here for a while. Let's not be boring. Oh,
I love that. Stuff. Yeah. That's actually one of my biggest underlying pillars for my content is just have fun with it. Love to have fun with my content because my hope is that if I enjoy it, if I have fun with it, whoever is going to ultimately engage with that content will enjoy it as well.
Exactly. Okay. I think we're at a good wrapping up place. Let me do a little housekeeping here and then we'll give you a second to show where you can connect, where everybody connect with you, learn more. So the thing I really like about this is that you really are focusing on that flip of the default content flow. You know, while you're saying, I'm hearing this appear in different ways all over the board. Let's think customer first and derive our internal material from it. Let's go to market with this and then and add on to it the other things that enablement teams really need to expand upon it with. They don't need to retrain or do the core of it, right? And you've got results. 6-month project down to 2, marketing enablement working together. You've got a package, a polished package. Team that's trained just by side effect of working through the material. And you took that experimental mindset now to social media with your farm. And you know, the through line here is that customer education professionals really should be, and it's not like how we should act, it's how the world should work with us as a systems architect. I totally believe this. We have one of the hardest jobs that gets the least recognition, I think, that us, enablement, all this, that we're doing good work and important work, but it comes last. Putting the customer first flips the script. All right. So with all that, we'd definitely like to hear how people can reach out to you, how connect with you, more about Quantalope, your farm. Let's share it with everybody where we can find you.
Sure. Love it. So super easy to find me. It's Anna-Lena Kress on LinkedIn. So just find me there. And then certainly our farm, if you're curious, we're Better Together Acres. And just for background, our Facebook account is the one that went viral. And we're still working a little bit on Instagram. So if you're coming to our Instagram and you're saying, this doesn't really match what she said, that's why. So Facebook is where we had that explosive growth, just for background. Yeah, and those are the two ways you can find me. Would definitely love to connect with you.
Awesome. Well, I'll be following you for sure. I want to see this so I can learn to up my my poor lawn, my garden. Okay. So again, folks, if you want to learn more, we have our podcast website at customer.education. We're mostly out there on LinkedIn. That may change. We do have a channel on YouTube that we occasionally put videos. And special thanks to our friend Alan Coda, who made our theme music. And if this helps you out, please share, connect, and find the others. Subscribe to our show on any of the podcatchers, Apple, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. We've got all that. What really also helps is getting a positive review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. So we were here to help. We want to hear your voice. We want to welcome any of you that have good stuff, like Annalena. Thank you so much for sharing all this. And if you have a story you want to share, you want to show how we're changing the world with customer education, making a customer-first environment, no, we're all for it. So to our audience, thank you so much again for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment, find your people. Thanks, Annalena.
Thank you.